Concrete Rose, Chapter 8. At Garden High, King is a legend. If he walked in the building right now, people would act like he Jesus. Unfortunately, he can't walk into the school. He's not allowed on the grounds. See, King used to be on the football team. He was probably the best defensive end that Garden High ever saw. Problem was, he hated his coach. To be honest, everybody hated Coach Stevens. Dude was a straight-up redneck. He didn't throw around the N-word. Nah, it was other stuff like having a Confederate flag on his truck, calling it heritage. Heritage, my ass. One day last year, he told King to wash his car before practice. King told Coach Stevens he wasn't his slave. Coach looked him dead in the face and said, "You are whatever the hell I say you are, boy." King beat the mess out of him. I swear I ain't seen nothing like it. King threw blows like Tyson. He got expelled and sent to juvie. Coach Stevens never came back, and now none of us have to deal with his redneck ass. King forever a hero for that. He crack up as he drive farther from the school. Clark still can't catch nobody, huh? Hell nah, never. What's up? I haven't seen you in a minute. You know how it is, King says. These streets keep me busy. Had to scoot you up so we chill like we usually do on the first day of school. Straight up. I just want to crash at your crib, dog. I'm tired as hell. What? You tripping? We gotta hit the mall. You know how we do. I don't got it in me, King. I need to rest up before I go to work in a couple of hours. Work? What kind of work you doing? Drake convinced me to take a job with Mr. Wyatt, I say. I'll be helping him in his storeroom with his garden. Hold on. You walked away from our side hustle to go make pennies for that old man. You may as well work for the police. The Wyatts were King's last foster family, right before he went to juvie. He always said they were too strict with him. I shrug. It's Mr. Wyatt or Mickey D's. I got to provide for my son somehow. The car get real quiet. The only sound is the DJ on the radio. Everything good with the side hustle? I ask. Yep. No problems from Sean and them? Nah, King says. Neither of us says anything else for a while. Some Master P joint to start on the radio. King's speakers thump it hard. You got them new subwoofers installed? I ask. Yep. Damn, they sound real nice. For sure. These short answers, the sudden vibe in the card. Carl, it's not us at all. We were cool till I mentioned my son. We good, man? If the baby stuff bothers you, God damn, Mav, how many times I got to tell you, it's all good. Trust me, I'm glad I don't got to change diapers no more. He laughs. How little King doing anyway? He fine, except he won't let me rest. I'm trying to figure out a new name for him. King look over at me. What for? You really got to ask. Don't make sense for him to have your name when he's my son. I'm your boy. You can be named after me. Come on, man. Considering the situation, don't you think that would be weird? King don't respond. I sigh. I don't mean nothing by it. He your kid now, Mav. Do whatever you want. King says as his beeper go off. He take it out and peek at it. White boy Aaron want me to hit him up. White boy Aaron is this stony kid who go to St. Mary's Catholic School. King met him once at a football game, and now he one of King's regulars. When it comes to making money in this drug shit, rich white kids are where it's at. Only one thing on my mind now, Lisa. That's her school. I could holler at her real quick. What do I say? I'm sorry. A million of them mugs wouldn't be enough. I gotta try. Even if it take a million and one apologies, she's worth them all. St. Mary's is downtown, and a bunch of students in uniforms crowd the sidewalks as they head for the restaurants nearby. St. Mary's let them leave campus for lunch. Garden High ever do that, half of us might not come back. King turned into the school parking lot and pull into a spot near the back. I open my door. I'm going to look for Lisa. What? I don't got time for that, Mav. Give me 10 minutes, King. That's it. I won't go far, I swear. King stare at something across the parking lot. You definitely won't. Ain't that your girl right there? I follow his eyes. Lisa lean against the car, talking to a blonde-haired white boy. He all up on her and got a giggling. Hold on. I've been towed up listening to Boys to Men all day, every day, and here she is smiling in some white boy's face. I go straight over there. Hey. They both look up. Oh, my God. Lisa groans. What the hell are you doing, Maverick? That's what I want to ask her. But that's a sure way to get cussed out. We need to talk. Talk? There's nothing to talk about. Don't you have a son to take care of? Wait. This is the asshole who had a baby with another girl, the blonde boy asks. First off, who the hell is he? Second, why is she telling him my business? bird, who the fuck you think he's talking to? I step toward him. Who are you calling that asshole? He balls his fist like he wants to square up. Man, I'll beat the mess out of this fool. Lisa put a hand on his chest. Connor, it's okay. I can handle this. Connor? She went from me to a white boy named Connor. What kind of plain ass name is that? Long as you're sure, Connor says to her, while eyeing me. He leave us alone. Lisa turned to me and her stank eye is lethal. Go home, Maverick. Ah, man, what are you doing all up on him? We just broke up. Oh, don't even. At least I haven't slept with him and made a baby because I'm stressed. That hit hard. I'm sorry, Lisa. You're right, you are sorry, she says. A sorry excuse of a boyfriend, and I was stupid to fall in love with you. Her voice cracked like there's a sob down in her trying to get out. Knowing she want to cry, tear me up inside. But ain't nothing worse than hearing she regret loving me. I'm sorry, Lisa. Swear to God I am. Let me fix this. You have a baby with another girl. How'd you fix that? I don't know. Leave, Maverick, she says. Lisa, please, I promise I... Leave. Hey, a deep voice yell out. This tall, dark-skinned dude in a security uniform hurry over. He come up, talking about, young man, you're trespassing onto school property. I try to catch Lisa's eye for a sign that we got a shot. Something, anything. She won't look at me. Fine, I say to her more than the guard. I'm gone. I walk from her, and it honestly feel like I'm walking away from us. King drive us back to the garden. Lisa really done with me. He used to trip me out that a girl like her had feelings for me. Now here I go doing something stupid and losing her. Chin up, Mav, King says. Don't be letting no female get you like this. I straighten up. I'm good. It is what it is. No doubt. Keep it moving. Don't give her another thought. That would be easy if she wasn't the main thing in my head. We cruise down Magnolia Avenue. There's a couple of cars at the old Cedar Lane shopping centre. There used to be a grocery store there, but it shut down years ago. Today there's tables set up in the parking lot with clothes, electronics, CDs and tapes on them. The trunk of an Impala has opened up, revealing even more stuff for sale. That's Red, the hustler who gave me these booty-cracked Jordans. Turn around, I tell King. What for? I gotta talk to Red. He gave me some fake sneakers in exchange for some of my video games. What? King says. Oh, hell nah. He needs to give you some of your stuff back. He better or we're going to have a problem. King turned into the shopping centre parking lot. Holler at me if you need me. You know I'm always down for whatever. That's one reason he my boy. Appreciate it, but I got this. I hop out the car. Red smile all in this one lady's face as he show her a purse. Bet it's fake. He probably using some weak pickup line to convince her it's real. Red, one of them dudes who claim me pretty because he got light skin with green eyes and wavy hair. The girls at Garden High love that. Red don't go there. He around 24, 25. He the type that hang around the school and pick up young girls. Red, I call as I cross the parking lot. Let me holler at you. Don't think I miss that shit, he hiss. He forced a smile, flashing that one gold tooth he got in the front. Mav, my main man, you good? Hell no. You gave me some fake Jordans. That lady we was talking to go, fake? Oh, hell no, and walk off. Wait, baby, there's a misunderstanding, Red call after her. He turns to me and stomp his foot. Maverick, that ain't the kind of shit you announce. You trying to ruin me? You lucky that's all I'm doing. The jump man on these Jordans got a booty crack, Red. He put his hands up. Hey, not my fault. You should have checked them first. Dog, you told me they were real. And? This Nick... You know what? I done had a bad day and I ain't in the mood. Give me my games back and we'll keep it moving. Red looked me up and down like I'd dissed his mama. All trays are final, partner. I sold them games already. Then give me the money you made off them then. I'm not giving you a damn thing. What I look like, a pawn shop. Give me my money. King make his way over. We got a problem here. King, get your boy, Red says. I told him all trades are final and I told him he better give me my money. Ah, calm down, Mav, King says with a hand on my chest. It's all good. What the? No, it ain't. Red told you trades are final, King says. Respect that man's policy. Red smiled wide. Thank you, King. I knew you were a good dude. What kind of Twilight Zone shit is this? King, what the hell? King get this really sneaky grin. It's okay, he says. Since Red don't want to give you no money, we'll make sure he can't make no money. King flipped one of the tables, tossing Red's merchandise to the ground. What the hell? Red yells. You know what? Fuck it. I grab the other table and do the same thing. CDs, DVDs and tapes crash onto the concrete. Red cuss like crazy. We run to the car, laughing our asses off. I'm 15 minutes late for my first day of work. Me and King went to his crib and I took a nap on his couch. Man, I didn't realise how much I love sleep. One of the best things God ever created. When I woke up, a couple of hours had passed. King dropped me off at the Wyatt's house. Mr. Wyatt told me his nephew would handle the store and I'd be working in the Wyatt's garden today. A wood fence surrounded the back yard and Mr. Wyatt tall enough that I spot him over it. Hope you're not mad that I'm late. Hey, Mr. Wyatt. The gate is open, he says. The Wyatt's backyard is a garden. Flowers, fruits and vegetables everywhere. There's bird feeders and little fountains all around. A stone pathway leads to a gazebo in the middle. Hard to believe something this pretty in our neighbourhood. Mr. Wyatt waters some flowers. Mrs. Wyatt bows little man on her knee in the gazebo. He laughs with his fist in his mouth as drool run down his arm. I smile. Hey, man. How was he, Mrs. Wyatt? Perfectly fine. This boy knows he has a big appetite. He'll be ready for baby food soon. Dang, I better work then, huh? She laughed with me. You got that right. Mr. Wyatt clears his throat real loud. Mrs. Wyatt, stand up. It's time for this sweetie pie's nap, she says. Let me get him inside. She leaves me alone with her husband. I think it's on purpose. Come here, son, he says. His tones say more than he do. I might make my way over. Sorry I'm late. I had to stay at school and... He spray water over his tomato plants. Don't let the rest of that lie come out of your mouth. I saw who dropped you off. I know what he's into, and I doubt he only gave you a ride home. What are you doing with him? Play it cool, I tell myself. I only took a nap at King's crib, but I left school early. Mr. Wyatt won't be okay with that. He's my friend, Mr. Wyatt. We only hung out. I told you I don't tolerate that gang. It wasn't gang-related, I promise. Why's your life? That's all you were doing. I figured you'd be cool if I said it was a school thing. He picked me up and we hung out. That's it. Mr. Wyatt nods. Okay. However, this is your first strike. Three strikes and you're fired. See? This is what I'm talking about. He's so hard on me. Come on, Mr. Wyatt. It was only 15 minutes. You act like I was an hour late. It wasn't a life or death situation. You were hanging out with your friend who showed up late on your first day of work. Then you tried to lie about it. I'll make up for it. I'll stay an extra 15 minutes and... No, you'll stay an extra hour. I almost cuss. An hour? Yep. For every 15 minutes you're late, you've got to work an extra hour without the extra pay. That ain't fair, man. Who said anything about fair? It's a rule, son, and I make the rules. You've got a problem with it, you're more than welcome to quit. Shit, I'm tempted to. Then I think of the light bill Ma couldn't pay and the extra hours she's thinking of working to help provide for my son. Quitting ain't an option. What you need me to do, Mr. Wyatt? Roll up your sleeves, he says. We're planting roses today. The sun go down and I'm still working in the garden. You'd think once it's dark it wouldn't be so hot, but dang, I'm sweating bullets. I catch a whiff of myself and I know what Ma mean when she say I smell like outside. I dig up plots for the roses. Mr. Wyatt got these big bags of garden soil and we poured them out. Soil got this almost sweet scent to it. It reminded me of when the sun come out after a rainy day and everything smelled fresh, like the whole world took a shower. We're taking a break now as Mr. Wyatt go to get us some water. Mrs. Wyatt come out a little while ago and told me she's getting little man ready for bed. Said he'll be knocked out when I take him home. I appreciate it because I can't imagine dealing with that boy now. Mr. Wyatt, hand me a glass of ice water. Don't drink fast, might make you sick. Yes, sir, I say, and try to take small sips. I'm thirsty as hell. He sip his water and wipe his forehead with his arm. Make sure you put them gloves on before you pick up them rose bushes. Otherwise the thorns will get you. Bushes? Them things look like twigs. You're only putting roses in this bed? That's the plan. Roses need space to grow. Why you ask? He got greens, green beans, tomatoes, strawberries, blueberries, all kinds of fruits and vegetable out here. Seems like a lot of space to give to something you can't eat. You might be right, he admits. I like to be reminded that beauty can come from much of nothing. To me, that's the whole point of flowers. I smack my arm. These mosquitoes ain't playing. Summer gonna be over soon. You ain't worried they'll die? Mr. Wyatt slip on some gardening gloves. No, we're planting them well before the first frost. That'll give them time to grow some roots before they go dormant. There's a small chance they'll die. Roses, they're fascinating little things. Can handle more than folks think. I've had roses in full bloom during an ice storm. They could easily survive without any help. We want them to thrive. We'll have to prune them, things like that. He may as well speak French. What pruning mean? He grunts as he gets down on his knees. I'll know I'm old when I start grunting. He set a rose bush in a hole and packed dirt around it. Pruning means getting rid of what they don't need. Thin canes, dead canes, damaged canes. If it doesn't help them grow, he does his fingers like they're scissors. Snip it off. Hand me another bush. I slip on the gloves and grab one. Why you call them bushes? They look like twigs. Mr. Wyatt chuckles. I suppose it's like the word says, call of these things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. His shoulders shiver like he caught a chill. That's a good one. Mr. Wyatt is a deacon at Christ Temple Church. He'll throw a scripture into a conversation in a minute. Hope he doesn't go into one of his mini sermons. We'll be here all night. He grunts again as he straightens up. These knees can't handle a lot more of that. Plant the rest of them for me. I do like he did. Set a bush in the hole and pack dirt around it. Then another. Mr. Wyatt, watch me. Looks like you've got the hang of it. Here I was thinking you would give me some lip about messing up your clothes. Nah, there's nothing compared to what I dealt with earlier with my son. Pooped on me before school. Mr. Wyatt laughs. Sounds like you had a rough morning. Rough day, more like it. Want to talk about it? I look up at him. Nobody ever really asked me that. I'm all right, Mr. Wyatt. I didn't ask if you were. I asked, do you want to talk? I can tell something on your mind. I've been trying to shake Lisa out of my head for hours and I can't. Like I'll get caught up in something else and I remember that crack in her voice and it's all I can think about. I saw Lisa earlier, I say. She refused to give me another chance. Well, this isn't exactly the kind of situation a young lady gets over, Mr. Wyatt says. Frankly, that's a lot to ask of her. I ain't asking her to get over it, Mr. Wyatt. I just want another shot. Which would require her getting over it, son, he says. Have you considered how she feels about all of this? I know she hurt. No, have you really considered how she feels? What if the shoe was on the other foot and she had a baby with some other boy? Would you be willing to give her another chance? Just in imagining it made me a little tight. I'd be pissed for show and hurt the same way she is. I can't say that to Mr. Wyatt. I don't have to. You can't ask her for anything right now, son, he says. You've got to love people enough to let them go, especially when you're the reason they're gone. I can't say nothing to that either. He pat my shoulder. Go ahead and get those other bushes planted. I'm going to check on my collards. Mr. Wyatt, leave me alone with the twigs. It seems as impossible for them to turn into rose bushes as it is for me and Lisa to get back together. I grab one and plant it. Unlike me, the roses deserve a chance.